You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy Thursday, everybody, and happy post-game podcast, or I guess not so happy post-game podcast. The Wolves lost a fourth straight, this time to the Utah Jazz on Wednesday. We're going to break it all down on the show today. First, though, thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. Remember, the show is free and available on all platforms. That includes YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms from Apple to Google, Spotify to Odyssey. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, as mentioned, post-game podcast. We're talking Wolves-Jazz. The Wolves lost by 32, final score 136-104 on Wednesday night at Target Center. The fourth consecutive loss for the Timberwolves. The second consecutive in an eerily similar fashion, although the Jazz really ran away with this one more so than the Hawks did on Monday. But the Timberwolves gave up 25 three-pointers to an opponent for the second consecutive game. That wasn't the only reason they lost, but it was the primary reason. So we're gonna dig into what happened overall. I'm going to pull out my key takeaways, and then we'll look at individual studs and duds from this one, as we always do. So let's just kind of start with the game as a whole. What happened in this thing? And not necessarily specific takeaways, but if you watched this game, what were you feeling throughout the game? Well, this was a close game early. The Timberwolves actually played really hard early in this game. They got out to a quick, I think it was 8-2 or 10-4 lead. They had a couple of nice steals, some breakaway dunks by Vanderbilt, by Anthony Edwards. They were active on the glass. They actually got Rudy Gobert into foul trouble early in this game. He picked up his third foul before halftime, his fourth foul just a minute and a half into the second half, into the third quarter. And the Timberwolves, the activity is really what kept them in this game. They were up until late in the first quarter, down one at the end of the first, down one at halftime. The Jazz deployed a really similar defensive strategy to what a lot of teams have done against Karl-Anthony Towns. They kind of rotated through some of the other guys guarding him. We saw a little bit of Bogdan Bogdanovic on him. Actually, he was probably the primary defender, especially early in the game against Towns. And then if Towns got the ball below basically inside the three-point line, the Jazz were doubling, which is what we've seen frequently. Towns didn't attempt a shot. I don't think he touched the ball on offense, honestly, until like 8 minutes left in the first quarter. So 4 minutes into the game before Towns even got a shot up. And it was a nice pump fake on the perimeter, drive into the paint, kind of a tough push shot floater from about 10 feet away. And Towns total in the first half only attempted three shots. We'll talk more about that later, trust me. But the Jazz did a really good job at kind of keeping him less involved. And Rudy Gobert, for all of his foul trouble, ended up with a really good game. He had 13 and 10 in 31 minutes, only attempted four shots. And actually, him only having 10 rebounds in 31 minutes is a bit of a surprise, especially against a rebounding challenge team like the Timberwolves. But the Jazz last year, when the Timberwolves beat Utah three times, the Timberwolves did a really good job at spreading the Jazz out and rendering Gobert ineffective in the paint, pulling him away from the paint onto the perimeter by essentially, and this was under Ryan Saunders, they did a lot of this, playing five out. They did more of this last year under Finch as well. But in this game, the Wolves just did not get creative enough to get Towns the ball. And despite the Gobert foul trouble, didn't really seem to hinder the Jazz all that much. He only had one block shot in this game. The story of the game for the Jazz was Donovan Mitchell was phenomenal. He had 10 quick points in the first quarter, cooled off a little in the second quarter, but then the second half was all Donovan Mitchell. He dropped 36 points in only 34 minutes on just 23 shots. He only attempted three free throws. The Wolves actually did a fairly good job at defending without fouling, which again, talked about this a lot. The Wolves actually commit the most personal fouls per game of any team and the most free throw allow the most free throw attempts per field goal attempts for opponents. So essentially their foul rate on shot attempts is greater than anybody else in the league. Yet the Jazz only attempted 15 free throws, and Donovan Mitchell got up 11 two-pointers in this game. It felt like a lot more than that. It seemed like every time he looked up, he was crossing somebody up, Taurean Prince, Jaden McDaniels, Jared Vanderbilt. He was getting into the paint. He was making a tough layup, a tough reverse, but only attempted three free throws. Still, 36 points on 23 shots in 34 minutes for Donovan Mitchell. And he was him and then making open threes. If you had to pick two reasons why the Jazz won, those were the two most obvious reasons why the Jazz emerged victorious in this one. As the game went on, again, the Wolves were only down one at halftime, But in the third quarter, it just kind of everything snowballed. The Timberwolves missed a bunch of open threes. There were plenty of culprits. But I mean, the easiest ones to call out in terms of missing wide open threes, Jaden McDaniels, Naz Reid, Malik Beasley, until he got hot again, kind of late third, early fourth quarter, but that was almost too little too late. They were already down 15. I think they got it back to like six or seven, but kind of like on Monday against Atlanta, Beasley didn't really make, he didn't make a shot until the second half. And even though he ended up with, what did he end up with in this game? 14 points on 5 of 12 shooting, 4 made threes. It all came in the second half when the game was, it was already a double digit deficit. So again, missing open threes, live ball turnovers leading to fast breaks the other way for Utah. And Utah is comfortable playing in the half court. They're one of the better half court teams in the league. And but the Wolves got themselves into foul trouble by the live ball turnovers. They had a 2-3 take fouls in the middle of the floor just trying to stop fast breaks. I think Patrick Beverley had at least two in the third quarter. And I that's one of a pet peeve of mine. I don't always think that's the best play. I mean, how often do we see these guys, you know, blow a 3-on-2 opportunity in the open floor at any team, not specifically the Jazz, but any team, that happens just as frequently as the damage that's done by getting into the penalty so early. And that's what happened in the third quarter. Again, ultimately the Jazz didn't shoot that many free throws, but as they were starting to pull away, build a double digit lead, it was really detrimental to allow kind of this mini parade to the free throw line for Utah on some silly fouls on the perimeter. So foul trouble, live ball turnovers, missing open threes. Suddenly the Wolves were actually, I think, plus one or plus two at halftime on the glass. They were on minus 12 in the third quarter alone, Minnesota was. And I said on the preview show on Wednesday that the Timberwolves, I mean, they're the worst defensive rebounding team in the league. The Jazz are in the top seven on both ends of the floor, both defensive and offensive rebounding. And I was worried about it. The Wolves held their own in the first half. Again, the activity was really good. But in the second half, things fell apart. The Jazz were a plus 12 on the glass in the third quarter alone and finished this game plus 11 on the glass. The Timberwolves only had 37 total rebounds in this game. So third quarter was a disaster. Fourth quarter was actually arguably worse. And the Jazz pulled away and won this thing by 32. It was really, really ugly second half. And all those same third quarter issues, copy and paste them to the fourth outside of one little mini push. This thing was never close after the Jazz built that double digit lead midway through the third quarter and took the 14-point lead into the fourth. So what I want to do next is I want to pull out some key takeaways. There's three main things that we can take from this game, apply moving forward. So we're going to do that next. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at Shopify. In case you don't know, Shopify is a complete commerce platform that lets you start, grow, and manage a business. The subscription-based software allows anyone to set up an online store and sell their products. Shopify store owners can also sell in physical locations using Shopify POS, the point of sale app, and accompanying hardware. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big business. So upstarts, startups, and established businesses alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. Scaling your business is a journey of endless possibility, and Shopify helps you make your entrepreneurial dreams come true. I love how Shopify has the tools and resources that make it easy for any business to succeed from down the street to around the globe. Shopify powers over 1.7 million businesses from first sale to full scale, reaching customers online and across social networks with an ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps, including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, and more. It allows you to gain insights as you grow with detailed reporting of conversion rates, profit margins, and beyond. Go to shopify.com/lockedonNBA for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/lockedonNBA right now. That's shopify.com/lockedonNBA. Let's also talk about Truebill. Do you know why free trials renew without your consent? It's a business scam out to get you. Don't let greedy corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or simply forgot about. On average, people save up to $720 a year with Truebill. Because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel, Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts, and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap, and your Truebill concierge is there whenever you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions so that you don't have to. Truebill has over 2 million users and has helped save them over $100 million. Don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now to Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you thousands a year. That's Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. All right, let's talk key takeaways from Wolves Jazz. Number one, talked extensively about this after the game Monday, talked about it on, so that would be Tuesday's, the postgame pod for Monday night's loss to the Hawks, talked about it on Wednesday's show, the preview show for Wolves Jazz. And here we are again, talking about opponents shooting the lights out from beyond the arc. The regression to the mean is real. It's underway. It's happening to the Timberwolves. For the first roughly 5-6 weeks of the season, Minnesota had the best three-point defense in the league. They allowed the opponents shot the worst three-point shooting percentage against the Wolves versus any other team in the entire league. Now, they're still third best. Opponents are still shooting the third worst three-point shooting percentage against the Wolves. That's after the Hawks game Monday, when Atlanta made 25 threes in that game and shot over 50% from outside the arc. I said on Wednesday's show, the Jazz came into this, they're the only team, Utah is, that actually shoots more three-pointers per game than Minnesota. We knew it was going to be a three-point shootout. That's exactly what it was. And in the first half, the Timberwolves held serve. Ant was hot. Patrick Beverley made some shots. Torian Prince made three of his first 4 3-point attempts. But as the game wore on, the Timberwolves simply could not keep up. And we said this on the show Wednesday, the Jazz are number 6 in 3-point percentage, number 1 in attempts, number 3 in percentage, or excuse me, number 6 in percentage. The Timberwolves are number 2 in attempts. They're number, I think, 23 or 24 in percentage coming into play on Wednesday. So that gap happened. It widened during the game. Utah went 25 of 54 outside the arc, 46.3%. The Wolves were 17 of 47, which isn't bad. I mean, it's above their percentage on the season, 36.2%. 17 made threes isn't a bad night. But if you give up 25 and you're minus, I mean, what is that? You're 8 times 3, you're minus 24 points from beyond the arc. It's tough to overcome that when you're even at the line, you're down in the rebounding battle, you're going to lose the second chance points battle. You can't leave 24 points out on the three-point line, and that happened in this one. This is another example of how much good fortune the Timberwolves had early in the year. Yes, they've done better closing out. Yes, they've done better defensively overall. They're more active. They're top, I think they're number one in opponent turnover percentage, turning opponents over more than any other team. They're number 6 in steals per game, 4 in blocks per game, all that stuff. But eventually, if you leave guys open, they're going to make threes. And that's what we're seeing. First the Hawks, now the Jazz. This number is going to keep moving. And if you, you know, in this game, again, credit to the Wolves for not fouling a ton, only giving up 15 free throw attempts. But over the course of the season, if they keep being the number one team in fouls per game and the three-point shooting percentage keeps rising for opponents, because it will, as we're seeing, we're not looking at a top 10, top 12 defense anymore. This is middle of the pack at best. So Minnesota has to do a better job at closing out. They can't short close out like we saw them do against Atlanta and a little bit too much against Utah. And part of it, Utah's, obviously a really good three-point shooting team. I mean, Joe Ingles hit a couple of tough ones late in this game. Bogdanovic was fantastic in this game. 4 of 9 outside the arc. Obviously, Donovan Mitchell keeps you on your toes. Jordan Clarkson's been streaky all season. And it's like 1 out of every 4 games, he actually has a really good game. Predictably, that happened in this one. 6 made 3s for Jordan Clarkson, 18 points in this game. Minnesota just did not close out well enough on the perimeter. And the three-point shooting percentage of the Jazz was phenomenal. This is the continued regression to the mean we're seeing for the Timberwolves' opponent three-point shooting percentage for their three-point defense. Number 2 takeaway. Karl Anthony Towns did not get enough touches in this game. And this typically, there's multiple layers to this, play calling, how the defense plays them, how Towns actually plays himself, whether or not he's forcing the issue, are teammates giving him the ball in advantageous positions to score. Whatever the case is, he only attempted 11 shots. You cannot have a game when Karl Anthony Towns attempts 11 shots and only 4 3-pointers. This guy is one of the best 3-point shooters in the league. I don't care what position. He can't shoot only 4 threes in a game and only 11 field goal attempts, have 3 field goal attempts in the entire first half. He only had 3 shot attempts in the first half, and Minnesota was only down 1 at the break. But he ended the game just shooting 7 for 11. And yeah, the line's nice, 22 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, turned it over 4 times, didn't get into foul trouble, which is phenomenal. But the Wolves just did not get him involved enough. And, you know, I think partly that's game plan. The Jazz, again, credit to them. They did a good job defensively. But in a game where Gobert was also in foul trouble himself, was off the floor for basically the entirety of it. In fact, for a big chunk of the Jazz third quarter run as they built their double-digit lead, Gobert wasn't even on the floor. He had his 4th foul before the first minute and a half of the third quarter went by. So the Wolves really messed that up in terms of getting Towns enough touches, especially with Gobert off the floor. And Towns himself played well when he actually had the ball in his hands. But there just cannot be a loss where you look up and go, huh, one of the best scorers in the league, regardless of position, had 11 shot attempts. One of the best 3-point shooters in the league had 4 3-point attempts in this game. That simply cannot happen. Number 3, Timberwolves did not make enough shots from the perimeter, and they missed a bunch of easy shots in the paint. You want a recipe for a 30-plus point loss, it's right there. I already called out some guys who just missed open threes. Jaden McDaniels was the number one culprit. He was one of seven, and all of his, except for maybe one, were just wide open threes. And at least three of them were halfway down and rimmed out. I mean, it doesn't matter how they don't go in. If they don't go in, they don't go in. And he had some, I mean, they were close, but they were misses. He was one of seven outside the arc. Nas was one of four. He was 0 of 3 until garbage time. He made 1-3 in garbage time, Nas did. Beasley struggled in the first half. Patrick Beverley missed a couple of open threes. Landro Balmaro only attempted two, but he missed them both badly, and the Jazz were more than happy to leave Balmaro open. Somewhat ironically, in fact, extremely ironically, Josh Okogie only played 6 minutes all in the first half, and he made both of his three-point attempts on a night when, you know, Jaden McDaniels goes 1 for 7 and Nas is 1 for 4. Nas, who is second on the team in three-point percentage coming in, Beverly's 0 for 2, and Towns only attempts 4 three-pointers. And yet you've got Josh Okogie, who is one of the worst three-point shooters on the team, making both of his attempts. It was a weird night in that regard. And the Wolves as a team, again, made 17 threes, 36%. That's fine. But they just missed so many open threes. And when you give up, 46% three-point shooting and 25 threes on the other end, you can't miss the open ones. And in the first half, they didn't. And they were going toe-to-toe, but you knew that eventually they were going to backslide. That's what happened in the third quarter. They missed too many open three-pointers. And also the missed shots in the paint. Nas is the number one culprit. He missed his first four shot attempts, actually first nine shot attempts of the game, or eight shot attempts of the game. But like four of them were point blank at the rim. Towns missed a couple of easy ones inside too. He still shot 7 of 11, but Towns was a culprit there. Just bad shooting in the paint by Minnesota as well. And again, that's partly bad luck, but at some point it's not. And they just got to make those bunnies right at the rim. And it's a recipe for disaster when you're playing the league's number one offense. You give up 136 points, 25 threes. If you don't make the easy ones at the rim and you don't make the open threes, you're not going to win. And you're not going to lose close either. You're going to get blown out. And that's what happened. Okay, I want to close by looking at individual studs and duds. We're going to do that next. First, let's talk about our new friends over at Stance Apparel. Been hearing a lot about Stance Apparel lately. I'm sure you have too, especially because they launched a new line of active apparel. Plus, it's holiday gifting time. Stance is the coolest gift you can give. They've got incredibly well-made socks, shirts, joggers, hoodies. It's so different versus the old boring socks, underwear, and apparel that we've always had to settle for in the past. Founded in 2009, Stance Apparel represents a radical reinvention of socks, underwear, and active apparel with a sharp focus on comfort, quality, and creativity. Stance brings an atypical aesthetic alongside some of pop culture's hottest collaborators for the ultimate in style and self-expression, because everything you wear should be a direct extension of who you are and how you feel. There's plenty of awesome designs. The show The Office designs, which are fantastic. Disney, Marvel, they've got some NBA designs as well. Pixar, my kids love Pixar, obviously, and also Disney for that matter. They've got designs for all those over at Stance. Stance believes that the perfect fit matters more than fitting in, that those who feel good do good. Go see for yourself. Register for an account at stance.com. Get 15% off your first purchase. Use promo code LOCKEDON at checkout to apply. Enjoy the color and comfort of a life less ordinary with Stance. Okay, let's talk individual studs and duds from this one. Number one stud in this one is Karl-Anthony Towns. I talked about him quite a bit already. He just didn't get enough shot attempts, but he was an efficient 22 points on 11 shots. Take that every day of the week. 7 rebounds, 5 assists. He did have the 4 turnovers, but I thought overall played well. Actually made some pretty good decisions with the basketball. He played well. This loss is not on Karl-Anthony Towns. Number two, Patrick Beverley only played 23 minutes in his return, which I'm sure was by design, especially when the game got out of hand late. He missed five, maybe six games with the adductor strain. 16 points, 8 of 11 shooting. He made like his first 5 shots, hit a couple of really tough floaters, missed both his three-point attempts, but he was 8 of 9 inside the arc. 2 rebounds, 2 assists, only 1 turnover in 23 minutes. And in a game that the Wolves lost by 32, Pat Bev only had a minus one in the plus-minus column, which, believe it or not, was the best mark of any Timberwolves player in this game. So a good game from Pat Bev. So Towns, Pat Bev are both studs, and it was actually kind of tough to think of a third one because the rest of the team just didn't shoot the ball well at all. I'm going to have to go with Anthony Edwards. He's really the only other guy that came to play for the majority of the game. He started quiet, had a big second quarter, and was mostly quiet in the second half. But 18 points, 7 of 16 shooting. He was 4 of 8 outside the arc, which Do the math. That means he was 3 of 8 inside the arc, which is not what you want to see. He again struggled a little bit at the rim. Took a couple of tough mid-range jumpers. He did miss both of his free throw attempts in this game too. So it wasn't a great Ant game. But outside of Towns and Beverly, it was really hard to come up with a third player who actually had a strong performance. And Ant had that really strong stretch in the third quarter that kept the Wolves in this thing at halftime and gave them a shot to be in it late. But he again got quiet down the stretch. By the way, both of his rebounds happened in the second quarter. He had rebounds, I think, on back-to-back possessions. No rebounds the rest of the game. So that continues to be an issue for him where he's hot and cold on the glass and too often cold. I mean, a guy of his size and athleticism who's playing, in this game, it technically started at the two, but he's been playing a lot of three this year. He's just got to grab more than 2 rebounds in 34 minutes. But anyway, 5 assists, only 1 turnover for Ant in this game. And generally he played okay. You just want to see more consistency for 48 minutes or however many minutes Ant plays over the course of 4 quarters, would be preferable. Certainly. Dud for me, I'm actually going to go, this is tough. I'm going to pick 2. Naz Reid really had a tough game, and he's played great this year. I want to make sure I say that. But in this particular game, he had 8 points on 11 shots, but both of his field goals from the floor came in garbage time. He started the game, I think it was 0 of 8 from the floor, missed his first 3 three-point attempts, and they were wide open 3-point attempts. Squeezed the trigger 11 times in 14 minutes, only made 2 shots, 8 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, a steal, a block, 1 turnover. Was somehow a minus 17 in just 14 minutes. Tough game from Naz. Also, Jaden McDaniels, 5 points on 2 of 10 shooting, 1 of 7 outside the arc in this game in 23 minutes. Missed a bunch of open 3 8-point attempts. Also, 3 rebounds, 2 steals, an assist, and a block. But he's got to make open threes. I mean, that's his role in this offense, is just knock down open shots and occasionally pump fake and drive to the paint. Did not do that well in this game. They're the two duds. I also want to mention Leandro Balmaro. He was the first sub off the bench and got the opportunity to try and guard Donovan Mitchell. First half, not as good. Second half, I thought he did really well on Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell was just, he's a fantastic player, but this is as good a game as I've seen him play in a while, certainly against the Timberwolves. Just unstoppable. Balmaro largely stayed in front of him, fought through screens. Occasionally the Timberwolves switched, but for the most part, they were on Mitchell all over the place, and he still just had a great game. Balmaro continues to really struggle offensively, and that's going to be kind of the deal. Teams are going to leave him open, and we talked before the season about how Balmaro could carry over that 3-point shooting improvement. Remember, when the Wolves drafted him, the big knock was that there's no track record of him making 3-pointers at a consistent rate. And then last year he shot over 40% in EuroLeague, and then he shot the ball well in training camp and in the G League early this season. And so everybody said, well, maybe he can shoot threes. That hasn't been the case in actual regular season NBA action. Obviously, a really small sample size, but that's what they judge you off of. And opposing teams are very pleased to leave Balmaro open to shoot open threes on the perimeter. He was 0 of 3 overall in this game, 0 of 2 outside the arc in 14 minutes was Leo Balmaro in this one. So disappointing loss for Minnesota. And again, really only Towns and Beverly could sit back and say they had a good performance in this one. The rest of the team, just a rough one. And now that's 4 straight losses, and it does not get easier. Saying that after every single game, and that continues to be the case. Friday night could be a mega revenge game. Kevin Love and Ricky Rubio both coming to Target Center on Friday night for the Cleveland Cavs. That's a 7 p.m. tip on Friday. And then the Wolves head out for a difficult road trip at Portland Sunday. They get a couple nights off on the road before they have next Wednesday. So a week from now, they have at Denver. Denver is the only team on the schedule for the rest of the calendar year, the rest of the month of December, that has a below 500 record as we sit here today. But no one's sitting here saying that's a game the Wolves are going to be favored in. Nikola Jokic to the Denver Nuggets at home in Denver, Mile High City, at altitude. That's going to be a tough one too. So this thing just keeps getting more difficult for Minnesota. And Friday night, I know Cleveland's good this year. I know they've got surprisingly good. They've got an above 500 record. They're playing well lately, but that's the most winnable game in the next week and a half or so. So Minnesota has to come to play Friday against Cleveland to try and steal a win before heading out on the road to face Portland on Sunday. All right, that's all we have for you today on the show. Thanks once again for listening to Locked On Wolves. And thank you to those of you that do make Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. A reminder, Locked On Wolves is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. If you don't want to watch my face, well, I talk about the Timberwolves. You can listen on your favorite audio platform. That includes Apple, as well as Google, Spotify, and the all-new Odyssey app. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B Beacon with 2 B's, 2 E's, C-K-E-N. That's all we have for you today. Thanks for listening to Locked On Wolves, of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.